Well, welcome to the Effing Bag Show. And I feel a little bit like I'm a Bosley or Charlie tonight, because it looks like Charlie's Angels all the way around me tonight. So, but massive welcome to everybody. It's starting in the, let's see, let me change my view and then I can see what everybody else is seeing at home. And then give me 2 seconds. I can tell you who's where then. So the top left-hand caller, free agent. He's in the top left-hand corner. Of course, Ali in the top left-hand corner. Bottom left-hand corner, of course. He's Emily. What's the matter?
In my bougie PJs.
Yeah. And of course, in the bottom right-hand corner, it's still in the Savoy. Courtney, how are we, mate?
Good, thanks.
And then, of course, our two guests then in the top right-hand corner. And welcome, Kim.
Hiya, you all right?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. Not too bad. And then, of course, down in the bottom, below me, in the middle, still at work. See? That's what you call work shame, isn't it, really?
Work shame. First, we got wall shame, now we're being work shame. What comes next, Emily, do you reckon?
I don't know.
Well, I'm in my pyjamas, so it's clear I don't give a fuck.
So, has anybody thought of any big news that's happened this week? Anybody?
Nothing at
anybody
all.
Heard of anything at all?
Nothing at all. Nothing happened.
My shoulder, if anyone cares.
Good. Let's tell us about your dislocated shoulder. Almost.
Nearly. I'd like to use the technical term subluxation. I did. A kid fell on me today, and it was really painful. So when everyone's ready to feel sorry for me, crack on.
We'll send Emma. We're going to send Emily round, mate. She needs a bit of physio on her shoulder.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Big news: Bromley manager got sacked. That's big news.
Oh, massive news! It's only news. Let's talk about that for now.
Can I just say big news? Can I just say I'll trump that? He's on the show on Monday night.
Oh, well done.
Roger.
Dover got fined 40 grand, didn't they, as well today?
Dover!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, sorry. I'm going to go completely off piece. There's big news. And only because he was a guest on our show, I want to say congratulations to Liam Ridgewell and his wife on the birth of their baby boy.
Oh, congrats.
I think they called him Santini or Santino. It's a very nice name. I just can't pronounce it.
You want to roll tonight, girl? I can tell already.
I know. It's pain, Ali. It's severe pain.
Emma, it's like this every week. Trust me. It's
but so, good fun.
So, Emma, tell us about a little bit of what you know about what you do and what you're up to at the minute.
What don't I do? I don't know if you've just started following me. I'm more into like prehab, like I'm big into like obviously like sports therapy, pitch side and all that, but like yoga and mobility, I'm massive on that. Which I'm doing a project at the moment, obviously prevention. Well, I was gonna tell you. Worked in grassroots most of the time, worked my way up through grassroots, like others here. What else can I say? I'm not excited, honestly. I'm not the worst person.
You say that while you're sat in a gym.
I know. That's my life, though. See, no, it's exciting. You're all sat there drinking, and I'm like here.
Ali's drinking Ribena. Don't be fooled.
Mine's only tea.
So not much. I mean, obviously, like grassroots, like all of you and everything. Obviously, Ali, you were on Billy's show the other week, weren't you?
I wasn't. I'm sure I was. I'll get around a bit on these podcasts. I've got another one coming out in a couple of weeks or next week. I don't know when it is now. They'll shoot me for not knowing when it's coming out. That'll be a fun one when it comes out.
So I work with him. I work with Millwall Lionesses as well. She's good fun. So men and women's football.
So tell us a little bit about Millwall Lionesses, because I know I saw him play a couple of times. I see him play up at Harlow where I do my stuff, and that they played a WSL game up there against Watford a few years ago. So tell us a little bit about that setup.
Obviously, we just started out with a new manager last season. responded, and then COVID happened, so kind of ruined it really. But I was with them before. I was with them in Dartford before, and then they split apart to the London City Lionesses, then Millwall Lionesses, and then I went back to Millwall Lionesses. We were about to win the league, and then COVID happened, and then we started again, and it stopped again.
I was asking earlier on about big news this week, and I've seen quite a few people share it, and I've seen that Emma's tweeted out as well on her Twitter account as well. Did anybody else see it with this Rehale adoption? Did anybody see what was
going on?
Proposal,
that was really
sweet. Yeah, she's going to be retiring at the age of 28 to help her partner battle brain cancer. And at the end of her last game, he actually proposed to her on the pitch on the final game. And you can actually see that on there. I'll retweet that out later because I've actually got it on mine as well, which I thought was fantastic, to be honest, I must admit. But we'll let Kim have a sip and then we'll ask Kim what she's up to.
Sorry.
Mate.
Most of my work's at Needham, but it is all... it is all football. Work with the academy during the week, first team, and then I've got my own private clinic there as well. And then I do Ipswich Academy under 9s to under 15s at Ipswich as well.
Nice.
So, yeah, COVID's hit me hard a little bit.
So what is that? Is that like full time sort of thing for you then? Is it with
or have you got... I suppose the number of hours would equate to full time, but it's kind of.
Honestly, you've been doing that for the last 2 days.
That's another.
Get off that. I'm talking about later, mate.
I did at the beginning to throw people off the scent. I even nearly dislocated my shoulder, and then you ring live on here. You're on your own. You are on your own.
Unbelievable. I tell you, and she keeps telling us that nobody wants her. Yeah, you were having that phone is red hot, honestly.
It's constant. It's actually going nuts.
It's about the seventh time that she's charged the phone up today. And I bet you she holds the phone up, it's on charge now. Is it not?
It's not on charge, but...
give me one sec.
Yeah. You know what? It's just pet. God, it's constantly a pet. Pet, leave me alone.
He is a pest.
Sorry,
anyway,
Kim.
Anyway, Kim, we apologise for that. You know.
No, don't be silly.
And you were nervous.
She's a popular girl. We can't help it.
Go ahead, Kim. Go on. What was we saying? We were saying about being at Needham and that. So.
Yeah, so I suppose hourly-wise, it is full-time because I do 3 sessions with the academy, 3 sessions with the first team, and then I'll do my private clinic around. But yeah, I love it. I wouldn't be in football if I didn't.
So, I mean, we've Needham now. I mean, I've lost track, if I'm honest, through COVID and everything else. Who's the manager up there now at Needham?
Kev Horlock.
Well, that's right.
Yeah. Alongside Tom Rothery. Nathan Munson as well.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the best games of football I think I've ever seen was up at Needham.
And, yeah.
For the result, more than anything else. and that was Harlow against Needham a few years back when you probably were still at school by then. But anyway, it was...
No. Older than some of these.
I don't think you're older than me.
I think we're the same age, honey.
Oh, are we? Okay.
Yeah. You were... 82, ain't you? 1982 is what I meant.
I was
born in 1992. I don't know what you're talking about, Kim. Can someone get her off the show promptly?
Come on, Jackie Weaver, quick, Dave. Come on.
I'm just curious, and I don't know if the other ladies have noticed this, and mainly Emily and Courtney.
But
I've noticed over the last few weeks, or it might be just me getting older, I don't know, but every time Ali has a drink with her, that wine glass seems to get bigger and bigger.
It does. It's a perk of being 33. It is, I will say, it is full of Evian. Is it Volvic today? There you go.
There are other water brands available.
There are other water brands available. And good old-fashioned London tap water as well, if you're interested in that.
So, I mean, girls, while you're all on, what would you say for you is the hardest thing about being a therapist, a physio as such, and mainly sort of some of you sort of being around sort of men's football? What is the hardest thing for you girls in that context of doing the job that you do in sort of in the men's game? What is the hardest sort of barrier that you feel you need to break down or have broken down?
The eerie silence.
Emma, you're our guest, you go first.
I think because the first time is convincing them, obviously I'm a little midget, going into the men's game and, you know, just trying to like get them to believe in you, because at first obviously they're like, oh, female, they're a bit like joke, they just like the banter, which is great, so I like banter and I can take it, but it's getting them to believe in your methods as well, from anything from the warm-up to the injuries and stuff. It's just bonding with them is harder, because you're always going to come across a couple I found that were just like, oh, I don't want a girl here, like that was, you know, I don't know about anyone else.
Hi Patrick.
And if you don't know about that, that was basically somebody came in with quite a nasty comment a few weeks back, so that's why.
Really? This
episode. Oh yeah, I did listen to that one.
Wow.
Good old them.
Carry on, mate.
No, I mean that it just, but then if you're strong enough and you know enough about the game and you prove yourself and you win them over, then that's, you know, that's it. But it is definitely harder at the start. You've just got to keep pushing and stand your ground when they try and push you a little bit.
They try and push barriers, do they? Do you think?
Yeah, they do push barriers.
Try and push more barriers with you because you're females rather than if they would with a male physio?
Definitely. I think definitely. Like definitely, especially like even just doing the warm up and that, just look at you like one of them be like, oh, are we doing aerobics or something? And it's like, no, like just everything really. It's just, obviously it's just, but that's grassroots, obviously. Going into the professional, it's a bit more different. They're a bit more accepting as long as you know what you're talking about, or try to look like you know what you're talking about.
Do you think that, I mean, you're involved with ladies football as well. Do you think that works the other way around in ladies football if it's a male physio?
I think some of them can't open up to a male one. I think when it comes to like the soft tissue stuff as well, obviously it's, you know, it's natural. Some of them, they're not used to it. Definitely.
Kim?
I think it'd be worse for a male physio to go into a female football environment than actually a female going into a men's on the basis that men accept women as they are. Whereas I think female footballers are a little bit more reluctant for a man to go into the changing room with them, and there's that that kind of barrier you've got.
Does anybody else feel that?
I think it's one I'll tread carefully along a very sensitive current climate in the world with feelings of women and how they feel in the world. I think that I've been in football, 12 years? Is it about at M's, I think, now? Give or take.
You must be 11 or 12, so I'm
young. I'm an old girl. I remember being the only girl in the Kent League at one point, and I remember getting some horrendous abuse. And I think that there's a fine line between banter and abuse. So sometimes you accept things, oh, it's a bit of banter, and actually it's not. I think as a female in a male-dominated environment, I think a lot of the time it's fine, it's great, and it's good banter, and it's a laugh. At times it isn't that. I think that it's got better in the last 12 years. I think, Craig's a great club. I've always been very happy there. It's a bit of a hard one to talk about now, isn't it, with what's going on? But I think I've always felt very safe and very secure where I am at Craig and at Don's as well, the good boys. But occasionally you get the odd nasty comment. I think you just try and rise above it, don't you? I think it's sad that 12 years into a career, I'm still talking about it, but I think I'll leave it there, Dave.
Courtney?
Yeah, it's just basically what the girls have touched on already, but like Ali says, there are comments that still fly around. Obviously, it was a few years ago now. I won't name no names or say what club it was, but there was a really bad tackle right in front of the dugouts. And obviously, I do say, like, whoa, like, what's that all about? And their manager come out and was, like, shouting. And I was like, no, it's not on. Like, that's not right. He was like, oh, women in football. And I was like, here we are. This is the... you know? You can't say anything because you're a woman in a man's game, but hopefully it'll get better.
But the thing about that, Courtney, is women in football until they need your help, and then it's like you're the best thing since sliced pan. So I think managers need to remember that as well. And the other thing people need to remember, and I know we're in a really sticky climate at the moment where everyone's struggling financially, clubs especially, and with especially clubs like Dover, clubs in the higher leagues who are getting fined left, right and centre. But I think what clubs need to monitor going forward and definitely allow for is a budget for a physio, and not like we'll give you petrol money, not like we'll give you this. Like when I was going to uni, I didn't say to my lecturer, I'll buy you a sandwich when we're finished. Do you know what I mean? Like you can't put your price on people's time. And I think that's the worst expectation for me, because I did 6 years in football unpaid until I was fully qualified. 6 years without petrol money, 6 years without a penny. And then when you start asking for money, people are like, oh. And you just think to yourself, I had to pay to put myself through uni. I've like done all these qualifications. You want my time. And it's funny because the people who want to pay the less want the most of your time. And I think we talked about this before, Ali. Like clubs will ring you up and go, can you do Tuesday, Thursday and Saturday and a little bit of rehab Sunday morning for free? Yeah, no problem at all. And as you'd like to do, come and fucking hoover your living room while I'm at it. Like...
That's a great service you're offering there, Em, to be fair. I might take up on that.
I'm hoping someone will offer to come and over my house. I just think the worst thing I came up against always, since I was like proper qualified, was people asking for your services for free. And some gaffers who are a bit old school, when you say they can't play, going, well, why? He looks okay. Well, why? And you're like, Jesus. So that's probably the worst thing for me.
So why do you think it is that, you know, a physio is one of those sort of positions, a really, really important position in sort of football, non-league football, Sunday morning football, but then clubs still feel sometimes that they don't have to pay for you. They, you know, not just you, but men, whoever the physio is, there's a lot of clubs that still feel that they don't have to pay for physios. It's just a job that you come along, you do, and you just go home again. I mean, why is that?
I think until something serious happens, they don't appreciate it.
Yeah, I was just about to say the same thing.
Like
exactly.
We're not there to put ice on them. That's just, you know, we're there for the serious stuff, but all the medical training. So, and they won't appreciate that, which doesn't happen, thank God, very often. But they won't appreciate you until that happens, and then they realise.
And that it's true what you say, Emma, that actually happened to me. People were like, oh, I didn't kind of realise how important it was to have you around them today. And that's the sad thing.
Yeah, definitely. Because I don't think they realise how in-depth our training is. Everything from the trauma, not just dealing with muscle injuries. So, like, you see, when something serious happens, they're like, that's when they need you. And then they appreciate you.
Yeah, when there's a player lying face down, not moving, and the gaffer's like, oh, shit.
Yeah. On that sort of front of what you just said there, I mean, Ali, you had that situation yourself, didn't you, when you was at Cray with one of the players there? And you know,
when I was at Cray? Oh, it's horrible, isn't it?
Sorry.
I've been there 7 years, Dave. 7 years. This is what I get at the end. Yeah, you know what it is? It's that thing, isn't it, of you don't have know a good thing until it's going or gone. And it's the same for me as a physio. You know, I like to sit on the bench and give out Haribo. It's my favourite trick. And 99% of the time, that's all I'm doing. I'm sitting there trying to give the players an equal amount of sweets. No one gets upset with each other. I'm trying to stop them all fighting. And then bang, you get a moment once a season if you're unlucky where you're called into action. That's when you earn your money. But I work in a hospital, Dave. So same as then, I've been most of my time doing little bits of rehab here and there. And then one day called into action, something a bit bigger. So that's when you earn your money, isn't it? But I think on the grounds of money and stuff, I think it's more that there's a perception in football that you're lucky to have a job in football. It's experience. You're going to learn something from us. Mm. Had a lot of that. And when you've been in clubs for 10 years and you get a shout of, oh, come down for experience. You're like, experience. I've been doing this 10 years working A&E. I'm good, mate. I'm good. Like, in greatest respect, I'm good. It's a very long drive to your club. But I think it's just a case of a lot of people have the perception that people are going to work in football for free because they love football and it's a passion, it's a hobby for some people. But I think sadly those days are going from us, aren't they, where football's a hobby and travelling's got a lot worse than a few years for me, certainly. Especially Bristol away on a Tuesday night, that was fun.
But the thing is, Ali, they don't say to managers won't turn around to players and go, do you want to come down for a bit of experience? So what's the difference?
So why should we have to take it for free?
Because we're the ones that are going to be looking after those players. So, but I'm not saying we are the big I am really. But, you know.
But I mean, even on the other show, you had people come on and say, look, you know, what we should do is we should get the season back. We should get the season plan again. And if the players want to play, they'll come and they'll play for nothing. And all this sort of stuff that you had some managers saying. But then I suppose you look at it on the other side. Yeah, okay, so the players might come and, you know, pay for nothing, but then all of a sudden you've got to ask the kit man to do that, the physio to come down and do that, this one to come down and do that. It's not as easy as that, is it? It's not as easy as saying turn up on a Saturday and come and do what you should be doing.
I think also it's the viewpoint. I mean, for my players anyway, you always look at it that yes, they come down and they'll play for free, but they've still got a job at the end of it. You know, these guys aren't getting huge amounts of money, and I think it's you have to put their welfare first. And if they're playing, what, 3 games a week, potentially, or whatever it might have been they were planning to do, and then they get injured and they're playing for free and then they can't work for the next 4 weeks, you know, financially they're in trouble. I think that we all want football back. No one disagrees with that, I think. But you want it back in the right way, don't you? You want to have football back properly. You don't want to have it where they're getting changed in a park next to the ground because they can't go in the changing room, which for me is wholly unhygienic, but... You know, but anyway, I'm not getting in my car without having a shower, that's for sure. Imagine. Oh.
Well, I mean, have you ever felt like, especially for us both, for Emma and for Kim, you know, and I mean, have you ever felt that you've been put under pressure by, say, Millwall or, you know, other clubs you've been involved in, and of course Needham Market as well and stuff. Have you ever felt that you've been put under pressure by somebody to, if you say a player's not fit enough to be playing or this player needs to come off, etc., etc.? I mean, have you ever been put under that pressure by managers or coaches in the clubs that you've been involved in?
No, I've been quite lucky in that actually the managers that I've worked with, if I've said that I don't believe that they're fit enough, they will, you know, we'll have a chat about it and we'll assess it together, but really they know my position and they will generally go along with whatever decision I choose to make.
So I'm the same, really. I've been blessed with good managers.
So I mean Kim yourself, I mean, have you played, was you there when Mark was there, Mark Morsley was there?
I started with the academy. Well, I'll be going into my fourth year from July, but I only started the first team in the July just gone. So I haven't even had a full season really with the first team yet. But I worked with Coggeshall before that.
Oh, okay, Ollie Murr.
So yeah,
you might be able to do something Emily can't. We won't be talking him on the show, but we can't.
I think I remember going back to this, Dave, that there's a bit of a bad health issue at Coggeshall. That's more important than a guest on our show.
I know.
Well, bless her heart, she did cover a game for me while I was at uni one weekend, didn't you, Em?
I did, and it was absolutely Baltic. I will never forget it. It was freezing. It was absolutely freezing. But yeah, what I will always remember is how highly everyone spoke of Kim, from the management to the supporters. everyone spoke so highly of her, and I thought, shit, I'm banging trouble here. But they literally, everyone, the manager, the players, they were like, she's amazing. And when I met, like, we obviously speak a lot over messages, and I was like, she kind of is amazing.
Oh, bless you. Right back at you, babe.
We've had some comments come in. We've had some questions come in. So we'll go through some of them. Adrian Gowling has said, evening all, is there anybody left at Cray Wanderers that can turn out the light?
I don't know what he's talking about. No, I have no idea. That one's for you, Courtney. That's a Cray Valley question, I think.
Yeah,
Danny's come in and said, been to Needham Market, really nice club. Stephen Sprignett said, what are your thoughts? And this is a good question, actually. So it'd be interesting to get your thoughts on this.
Hello, Jordy.
What are your thoughts on Sky Sports now showing women's football from next season, finally getting the recognition, and I think it will benefit the national side? Do you feel the WSL will grow as well as the rest of the women's football and its pyramid? So what do we think? I mean, if I'll go first, if you can. I think it's the best thing that's ever happened. Anybody that knows me knows that, you know, I follow Arsenal ladies, you know, massively. Some of my family are involved on match days and et cetera, as well. And for me, it's fantastic because for me, BT Sport just took it as a joke. And from, you know, say when stuff was being shown on BT, you'd get a game 1 week, wait 6 weeks and see another game and et cetera, et cetera. And a great thing for that is tomorrow, I think, is the North London Derby in the WSL. It's not even on the telly. You know, it's not on as far as I know. I've not found where it is, but it's not on. I think Sky Sports will take it. They'll pick the ball up. They'll run with it. And we'll find that women's football in this country, a bit like what Steve said, really, it will just, it will fly, literally fly. I mean, what's you ladies' thoughts? Kim?
I hope so. I mean, obviously, at Needham, we have our ladies' provision as well, which is, I enjoy sometimes going up there on a Sunday, or I covered a semi-final and a final when they were playing Ipswich Town, and it's a different sort of game. It's very much a on the floor kind of game, whereas obviously with the men's game you get a lot of heading of the ball. It's a bit slower, but it's, yeah, I enjoy it. I think it's about time it did get some recognition as well.
Absolutely. Courtney?
Yeah, obviously more coverage is good because then more people can see what actually happens in women's football. Yeah, I don't really have much to say about it, to be fair.
Emma?
Yeah, definitely. More coverage is good. Growing the women's games, they can get more sponsors. We can get, you know, but the other teams below as well, like Arsenal, obviously you're always going to see the Arsenal, Man City women, and that hopefully help the rest of them as well. In the league as well, sort of get more exposure.
Definitely. Emily?
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. It's like years overdue. It's absolutely fantastic. And there's a lot of managers I know at our level who have a very backward opinion on women's football. According to one manager, it's only lesbians that play women's football. And just an FYI, I played women's football and I'm not a lesbian. And it's a waste of a pitch. It's a waste of a pitch hire, blah, 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 blah. And that's just not productive. Like, if you don't enjoy watching women's football, don't watch it. But don't be unproductive. Don't be, like, there's no need to be nasty about it. And I think it's definitely on the up. And the more coverage it gets, the better. And the more sponsorship, like Emma said, the more sponsorships it gets, the better. And I think we're in a day and age now where people just need to kind of, if you don't like it, don't watch it. Just keep, like, try and keep your opinions to yourself if they're not productive.
Alex?
Exposure is always good, isn't it? I think, if anything, I think the more people see of it, the more they hear of it, these ladies become household names. And then it builds from there, really. You can't see it on TV. How do you ever get into it? So fingers crossed, it'll be good, a good movement for them.
And as our guest Tony Gale said a few weeks ago, he enjoys watching women's football. Because according to Tony, women play football the right way. Thank you, Tony Gale, ex-West Ham legend.
Legend.
Right, so this is a question for everybody except for Ali.
Left out. I'm going off now. Bye, guys. phone's ringing again. I'm going off.
It's the question that's been sent in. So, it's unfair for you to answer this question. That's why I'm leaving it away from you. But it's this question. This is sent in by Danny, by the way. So Danny's to blame for this.
Hi, Danny. Thanks. Hi, Danny.
Right. If your management team left your club, would you go with them? It's a bit like a, you know, I don't know, it's like a play cards right type of question, isn't it?
I'm actually happy to answer this one, David, honestly, because I've done it a couple of times. But I'll let the girls go first, and then I'll...
Go on then, Emily. We'll start with you first this time.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Right, so there's two options here. If your management team go and go to another team, walk straight in. So say, for argument's sake, a certain management team that left this weekend went and got another job at, I don't know, Bromley tomorrow. Then you go as a team. Then yes, you go as a team. If your management team leave, and they leave, they hang up their boots, hang up their manager's coat, and just say, that's it, I'm done. Then... I think it's personal choice, because I had it at Cray Valley. A manager left when Paul Grass left. When Grassy left, he left football. He didn't go anywhere else. If he had gone somewhere else, I would have gone with him. But when he left, the club asked me to stay. And I stayed for a bit with the new manager. But then it soon became apparent that we weren't going to work. So I moved, which is absolutely fine. But I think it's very dependent on what your management team do. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very dependent on your relationship as well.
Emma.
So, my men's team, I went with my manager when he left the first team and went to another one. I went with him. With my women's team, I stayed with the team when the manager changed, because for the love of the girls and the club. So... that's the difference. I didn't stay with the men's team before because I liked the manager and his philosophy and the way he was and he treated me. So I went with him. But the women's team, I stayed for the love of the club and the girls. And we've got a good new manager now as well.
Courtney.
Well, for me, like what Emma touched on, it's like for the love of the club. And as you know, I've been at Cray for most of my time. In that time, there has been like change of management and whatnot. So obviously, if my management at the time, like right now, went, it would be a big decision for me because I get on really well with them. But obviously, I have the tie to the club. So it would depend where they go. Obviously, if it's a good location as well. Obviously, I'm quite lucky where I am. I'm literally like 10, 15 minutes away from Cray. But obviously, with all like my dad involved with previous years. Yeah, it's just a bit more personal with the club.
That also depends as well if the club can take you to Wembley as well, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
For me, it's similar to Em that because I've got the academy as well, obviously if the club would keep me on to still do the academy, then I'd probably go with the first team management and go and do the men's team elsewhere. But obviously I also have to think about my financial situation because I'm a mum of two. So obviously it's slightly different for me possibly than some of these girls on here. So I have to weigh up the pros and cons of both.
I think the most shocking thing you said there was that you're a mum of two.
I'm a mum of two teenagers, not just a mum of two.
Wow.
Old enough to.
Oh, I love you.
I don't know what face cream you use. Right, anyway. Steve sent in this question. So, where are we? Where were we? So he says,
I don't like questions, you know. I feel under pressure.
I know.
He said, I found it harder having a guy being a physio purely based on the whole man up scenario. That doesn't just relate to injuries either. A lot of you would know the relationship you have with the boys at your club, but can you have a better conversations, vent more to women physios, especially in non-league? That little vent or offload about personal life puts your mind at ease. Ems wouldn't have heard enough from me in the past too. LOL.
I will always listen, darling. You know that.
I think that sets us aside from men, male physios, in that we have got more of an empathetic side to us.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. I think for myself, I can only speak personally here. I've got younger brothers, and I feel like when I joined football, I thought, this can be great. And then I felt like I had 16 younger brothers, and I thought, my life. But the thing is, I become very, when with the boys, I become very lioness about it. Like if someone hurts them, if they're upset, I become very, very, very protective very, very quickly.
I can confirm that. I've been on the end of an M shot a few times. One of my boys kicked one of her boys. Yeah. He didn't touch him, Ems. I stand by that. Completely clean, fine tackle.
Me and you
outside. About like that, mate. I'll see you in the car park after, Ems. It's fine.
I might retract that. You're from South London.
Yeah. Good accent, you girls though.
But yeah, I become very protective of the boys, and especially with my under 18s. Like I protect them. Sometimes their parents say I protect them more than their mums do, but I really do. And I've been in a situation before where a player has come to me and said, I'm not in a good space, like I've considered suicide. And that is really, really tough to hear. But it's equally makes you feel good that they trust you enough to say, help me. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a massive thing. And I always say it to the boys, I said it before lockdown, I say every club I go to, I'm like, my phone is always on. And sometimes they take that quite literally, and it's 3 o'clock in the morning, go, my ankle's still throbbing. You're like, fuck's sake. But I do think boys feel easier to talk to girls because we will listen. And there is that, like, we don't have the urge to tell people to man up. But what I will say to any physios listening, anyone listening, if someone comes to you mental health issue or I'm down or I don't feel well, please don't tell them to man up, because that's like telling a blind person to look harder. It doesn't work. It's ridiculous. So if someone comes to you with a problem and you don't feel you can deal with it, help them in some other way, but don't tell them to man up. That is all I ask of all our listeners. Please.
Absolutely top draw. Couldn't have said it better myself. But I mean, you know, with that though, I mean, are you really, how can I put this? Well, over the last couple of weeks, when it's been a girl's birthdays, of course, it's been Ali's birthday, it's been Emsie's birthday, and also as well with what's happened, you know, unfortunate stuff that's happened over the weekend. Are you sort of over the moon, or do you feel sort of really happy in yourselves when you're talking about mental health, with the amount of messages that Twitter went bonkers when it was your birthday, Ems, went bonkers when it was your birthday, you know, Ali as well, and you know, and what's happened over the week, over the last couple of days as well, people have gone bonkers again there. Are you, as girls, when something does go wrong, or it's your birthday, or something does go wrong or right, and you're involved in that, do you all get that scenario where you get loads of people messaging you from the club that you're involved in, and how does that make you feel? Because I know if it was me and I was getting that type of sort of exposure type thing on social media, where people were coming to me and saying, oh, what you're doing is brilliant, thanks, fantastic, I'd be over the moon. I'd be buzzing for weeks. But I mean, how do you react to that side of it?
I think it swings and roundabouts for me personally. I think that I've had a tough year, I'm not going to lie to you, with the hospital stuff, and obviously I live on my own, and having to be isolated from mum and dad for a long period of time was hard. I think not seeing the boys was hard. I think that this year's tested everybody to new lengths, and I've always thought I've been quite buoyant, quite perky, quite happy personality, and I think that's been tested. I think it's lovely to have those moments when you feel like you've touched people, and social media can be a really horrific place. It can be really sad and really bullying. You know, I've been from Thierry Henry this week about him signing off because of it, and that's sad. But actually, I think in the last week, I've had nothing but love on it, which is really nice. It's nice to have that affirmation in your mind that actually people do really care, and they might not see you or know you very well, but you're thought of well. You know, I think it swings and roundabouts for me. I think sometimes you have moments where you're quite sad, on look at Twitter, and you feel like, oh, I can't deal with this today, or you're saying, your mind is saying it's bad, or, you know, you get a nasty message in your DMs from somebody that's not very nice. You know, you get it occasionally. But I think the good outweighs the bad for me. I mean, my birthday, I must have been about 6 hours on my phone just trying to go through all the messages. And so I cleared it, another one would come up, which was, you know, it makes you feel quite happy. Particularly when if my first lockdown birthday. So that was nice. I won't lie. I did enjoy that. Not today, though. Today I've been going nuts for the wrong reason. But help me over the weekend. That's all I'm going to say.
Ems?
Yeah, like Ali said, social media can be a blessing and it can be a curse. And I mean, it is lovely that people think of you on your birthday. And I mean, it's really nice for me because I haven't seen my family in 501 days.
Not you're counting, eh?
Not that I'm counting. I haven't seen my mom, my niece, my brother, my best friends from home. It's been really tough. And not this week. The week before was probably my biggest struggle personally. And I don't like to talk about myself personally because I'm kind of the one that goes around and, you know, cheers everyone up or tries to cheer everyone up. But last week I did struggle and Ali dropped, like you guys dropped me a message to say, like, I hope you're well. But, and a few people messaged me and went, why didn't you say you didn't feel okay? Because you don't really want to bother people. But I didn't feel okay. But then I did reach out and I did get what I needed and I'm feeling in a much better space now. But I mean, there's hundreds of thousands of people in the same situation as me. They haven't seen their families. Like Ali, I had COVID. I've actually got long COVID. And the worst part of that for me was being told to deal with it. And you're just kind of thinking, well, how? Like... How do I deal with it? I was given an inhaler and sent on my way and I was like, no, thank you. I don't want to depend on medication for anything. So that was a massive shock. And obviously, having to have my operation last year during lockdown, it's just been an awful year for everyone. But personally, I think with social media, it can be a blessing. It can be a curse. And last week on my birthday, it was a blessing. The week before, it was an absolute curse. I wanted to fling my phone out a window. I turned it off for about 6 days. I just didn't want to be involved. So it's just, I suppose, like Ali said, it's things around, but it's what you make of it, isn't it?
Thank you for sharing that, Ems. I mean, you know, we're always here for you, girl. And you certainly lighten up my life once a week on here.
Thank you very much.
Not when I'm playing against you and you're shouting at my players, though. That still doesn't go
very well. I would just like to say, on Ali's point on Thierry Henry coming off social media, I had nothing to do with that.
I'm going
to
say, that poor man. Been what, 7 weeks?
I had nothing to do with
sustained that. Sustained abuse for that poor man.
If I had, you would have come off it probably years ago.
Oh, Thierry, mate.
In terms of social media and stuff, do you?
Yeah, I mean, if you get like, you know, the two girls, of course, have had their birthdays recently, and you know, but yourself, I mean, when it's, you know, comes to your time, your sort of. I don't know what it'll be, 17th birthday, 18th birthday next time round. You know, it's that sort of thing. It's like, are you sort of like really sort of encouraged by the amount of sort of positive feedback that you may get from social media? And how does that sort of, the negative stuff like Ali was saying and Emily was saying, how does that affect you as well?
I think I'll speak to lots of people and like lady physios as well. It's nice to feel appreciated because just that odd message would obviously make you feel a lot better. And to see it on social media is nice, but I don't really look at the negativity, if I'm honest. I'm not really a big social media person myself, as you can tell from my Twitter profile. It's a bit quiet.
I'm going to stop you there. You're on the Don's website, girl. You cannot have that one. I'm not even on the Don's website.
I don't do much activity on social media. I just... Yeah, and it's nice when you get a nice comment on there. It feels good.
Emma?
She's muted. You're muted.
Like, is Emma at home?
Sorry. I've had positive experience mainly from social media and football, to be honest with you. I've met great people as well in the industry through it, I'm not going to lie. It's been great networking. I've also helped people on social media. A lot of people have come to me and sent messages with problems. I feel like I can reach out to you maybe because I've tweet a lot of positive shit. And they reach out to me, and it's quite nice. And then I'll get a message weeks later or months later saying, like, oh, thank you, you changed my day, which is really nice. It really, really, it outweighs the one or two odd stupid messages or dodgy DMs by far. To someone send me, you know, oh, your, what you said today has changed my day, or it really makes a difference. I read them all, and it's nice. I do like it. It's, if I can change one person's day, that's enough.
Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. Kim?
Yeah, I mean, obviously over the last year with the lack of football, I had to take myself off a couple of times because obviously seeing the extended dates of the return and things like that, it really got to me, because obviously everything that I do is within football. So for me emotionally, it was really hard. And I don't get much positive feedback. I probably don't share enough like Emma and Ali do. But I do see positive things, and it is really nice for them. And yeah, you've got pros and cons of social media.
So I'm sort of interested now. So your two children, do they play football?
Funnily enough, they used to, because mummy pushed them into it. But they've both gone completely in different directions. My daughter's a horse rider and my son is performing arts. So, yeah, neither one of them wants to do football. The way my dad pushed me.
You didn't make them Tranmere fans? And
no, I didn't. No, they're both Ipswich fans.
Someone's come in, and this is a question, actually, that someone sent in for the 5 of you. And I don't think we've actually asked this question in all the weeks that we've been doing the show now. I don't think this question's actually ever been asked. But it's young Danny again. And he wants to know, what is the worst injury that you've actually dealt with as physios or therapists or whatever? So who wants to start with that one? Just start with Courtney, right in the middle underneath me at the minute. What's the worst injury?
I've had two leg breaks. One was Danny Gannon in a game against Erith Town and Glebe. That was horrible, to say the least. And another one when I was at Erith and Belvedere, the bone actually come out from under the shin pad. He got hit above the shin pad. It was a horrific tackle, and the bone just come out from underneath. And when you haven't dealt with that before, you're a bit like, ooh, like, okay. You kind of have to switch into a mode that obviously training can take you to so far, but actually having it there in front of you is completely different. And Jack Samutis has a herniated knee, which was quite a horrible one to see, actually, as well, because you don't like seeing these people in pain, and there's not really much you can do apart from calm them down to take the pain away from them. But yeah, I wouldn't like to see more of them because it was horrible.
with an injury like that, I mean, that must be really difficult for you ladies to deal with, I suppose, because when you sit on the TV and you see Premier League, they've got like the gas in there, haven't they? They've got this, they've got that, they've got everybody comes running out of everywhere from it. But as you ladies have said on numerous occasions, you're all on your own. You're there and you're trying to deal with that situation that, you know, in the Premier League or in professional football, there's maybe another three or four people all flying around that can help out the physio. But with yourself, you're almost left there on your own. So, I mean, how was that? That must have been very difficult for you to cope with. Maybe then and also afterwards, Courtney, as well. Once the young man had been taken away and hospital or whatever else, maybe that later on that evening, maybe the following morning, it still must be a bit of a haunting thing to actually try and get your head around.
I think after Danny's leg break, the boys could see I was really affected by it because of how much pain, and like I just felt terrible, and I think I nearly cried after, you know, like, oh, I just feel bad, like, that this has happened to him. And the boys were like, yeah, you okay? And I was like, yeah, I'm fine, I'm terrible. But there were people who stood up and obviously helped me out, who had their kind of first aid and stuff like that, so it was easier to deal with when you've got that kind of support. But yeah, like you say, you see professional games where they've got the ambulance people there, and you just think like, oh, I am really on my own here if anything bad was to really happen.
Just quickly before we go any further, before we move on to Emily, I just had a message come in, and it's from a gentleman called Peter Jackson.
I know Peter, yeah. I wonder what this is.
It is a message to you, Ali. It says, yeah. Ali, we still love you no matter what.
Oh, tell him I love you too, Peter, honestly. That's all I can say at the minute. But I love you guys to the moon and back at Cray. I really do. It's all been a bit shocking, mate. We'll get through it. And I'll definitely be at some games, so don't worry. As long as you let me in for free, Peter. It's on the gate, you'll help me out, won't you, Pete? I know you will.
Emily, with yours?
Worst injury.
Yeah.
Well, for me, it's anything with blood. Me and blood, I start shaking like a leaf. The worst leg break I've ever seen was a pre-season friendly. I was at Cray Valley, and I don't think you were there, Courtney. I don't know why. It was a pre-season friendly. I don't know where you were. And
I might have been at something, mightn't I?
You are.
Maybe I was at my course that weekend.
I don't know. It was a pre-season friendly and then not in the evening, but it was when James Collins was there. Where were you at that time? Were you at Erith?
Maybe, yeah. Yeah, because you were with...
Anyway. We were pre-season friendly and barking, and this guy came flying in two-footed to try and two-foot Taz, Aaron Jeffrey, and he missed him. Taz skipped over him and his foot got caught in the ground. And his body kept going, but his foot stayed. And I was sitting there and I was watching it. And as he pulled his leg up and his foot was literally like this. And I was like, oh, sweet Jesus. So I've run on and I've literally just lay on the geezer so he couldn't see his foot. Because I was like, right, I can't, I'm going into shock because that's just carnage. So
I just lay on. Drink. Hang on, he's getting a bit too much. Just falling.
I swear to God, if anyone had like taken notes, I would have probably been done for GBH because I just went, that rugby tackled him to the floor. And I need some towels. I just didn't want him to see his leg. So they've got me towels they put on the leg and they were like, what's this for? To keep it warm? I was like, yeah, of course. So we rang an ambulance and it's taken an hour for the ambulance to come. His wife is wrapped up. I rang his wife. Pleasant conversation. Nat. Then she's rocked up as if we're in a nightclub and I'm chatting them up. She's like, what are you doing? I was like, I ain't got the time for this shit, love. I'm getting bitten by mosquitoes here. It's pre-season friendly. I'm not even getting paid for this shit. So the ambulance has come and the paramedics have gone, we can't move and we need to administer some ketamine. And I was like, great. And some idiot mate has gone, I have something on my car. And I was like, oh. So we've had to wait for a doctor. So doctors come, administer the ket, and then a doctor literally caught his foot and relocated it. And Frank May was with me and I grabbed onto Frank's arm and I thought, I'm gone here. Like, this is it, it's game over. And I've held onto Frank's arm and I was like, Frank, it was the noise. It wasn't what it was doing. It was the noise. I thought, oh, Christ.
What? Is that what you got?
No, but then that was probably the worst leg break I saw because it was awful. And the geezer rang me the next day, bless him, to thank me, but he was absolutely out of his tree on pain relief. But the worst blood injury I've had was an under 18 splitting his cheek and splitting his eyelid. And I was very unprofessionally hungover. And he split his cheek and it started to swell. So the skin starts to open further and further. So I was like, right, I need to deal with this. So I've done with.
Sorry, David. I should have warned you, innit?
He's still bleeding. So I'm like, where's this blood coming from? And as he's closed his eye, his eyelid's flapping. I thought, fuck my actual life. Anyway, and I'm like this, shaking, and the guy's gone, are you hungover? I went, no, I just don't like blood while I'm trying not to vomit.
Anyway,
they're my two worst injuries.
What about you, Emma? You got anything pleasant to tell us?
I've dealt with loads, obviously broken legs, ankles, smashed in noses. Probably the nastiest one I've dealt with was actually a broken fibula. And obviously she was screaming her head off and everyone was looking at her, her foot was like in, hanging up. It was nice that I straightened it so well. The hospital said I saved her from an operation, which was nice. That was probably the worst because everyone was looking at her like having a heart attack, like your foot, your leg. So, but it was nice. Obviously, but I've dealt with loads of like broken bones, smashed nose is, it was quite badly smashed. but I don't mind blood. I just see people like they're a jigsaw puzzle. I'm like, let's put it back together.
Like you're spouting.
I think if you're confident, then they calm down anyway. Like, literally calm down. It's just trying to get rid of the other players. So, like, stop looking. Yeah. That's the
I'm
worst.
I'm fine at the time when it's happening. It's afterwards I go into a corner and shake and get into the feet position, have a little rock.
Anyway, Kim, do you have a nice story to tell us?
Well, I've been quite lucky in that the worst one is probably like Courtney. I had a dislocated knee in a training session. And the poor guy had done his other knee about 6 months before. And he'd been to the hospital and they said, well, if it happens again, you can do it yourself. So he was laying there begging me to actually put it back in.
That's what
they're in more pain while it's actually out of place than once you actually put it back in. So literally I just put it back in for him, and the relief from him, he just hugged me, and this is coming from a 17-year-old boy, so I was like, DBS.
Hugging him like this.
About dislocations, and I can't think what the guy's name was, and I know he's very well known in the non-league circuit, and I think he might have even been playing for Keith's team at Thamesmead. I know Keith would tell you his name like that. And all I remember is him falling over in a match against Harlow and him just walking up, and he's going, and he's sort of walking sort of like all like this with his arm.
Cyrus Gordon-Young.
That's the one.
He dislocates for fun, to be fair.
Tyrus. Shoulder, I knew it was Tyrus.
Yeah. And Tyrus actually walked up.
And dislocated his own shoulder.
Yeah.
Bang, like that, and put it back to the kettle on plan. You're thinking,
he used to give me anxiety.
Anyway, Hallie, what about yourself?
I think you know all of my gory stories. I'll give you one that worried me more than anything else. So I had a player, quite young physio, when I was at Fisher, a gentleman called Frankie, a bit fierce on the pitch, but a little lamb off of it. So he had a knock on the head.
Frankie Warren?
Yes, he's a little pussycat, he's lovely. So he had a head injury, and then by the time we got to halftime, he was like staggering, like he had about 10 drinks before the game. But okay, we've got a bad head injury here, let's get him off. Sat with him, and he was so placid, he was really sleepy. But Frankie hates hospitals. But you know what, why is he a bit sleepy? I'll call an ambulance, brilliant news for me. Called him. The second the paramedic got in there, he went absolutely crazy, trying to go for this poor woman. I had to restrain him in a headlock, trying to get from killing her. Get the manager to come in the middle of the second half. That was a fun one. He had a head injury, that's why he was reacting like that. But I've never seen him go for a woman like that in my life. I was terrified. And I had even a headlock on the finger, it's bent like that. And I was like, oh, the best second half of my life, that one. He didn't get in the ambulance in the end. That was fun.
Ali, I didn't learn that in trauma when I...
Honestly, mate. It was
someone in a headlock.
Honestly, if they had seen what I'd done to him in that changing room, he was in a full headlock because he was going for her. But it was, you know what it was? It was a symptom of his head injury. I kept saying to him, no, he's not like this. He's got a head injury. This is why he's being aggressive at the minute. Please don't leave him here with me. Like, take him off. But he was fine in the end. But it was a good story. I mean, I technically beat up Frankie Wong, which is quite impressive.
That is impressive.
Don't tell him. He'll come around and beat me up properly.
No, he won't.
I think the funniest, because it wasn't at the time, but I mean, with that, and as I've said to the girls before now, my two biggest fears, needles and blood. So blood completely out of the question whatsoever. But I can honestly remember when my nan was alive, she was out in the kitchen and she came into the front room. The dog got excited, jumped up her to get a stroke like dogs do. Terriers, I think, jumped up her. As she's come down, she's caught her leg as she's come down. And she's literally taken out like a chunk out of a leg where you could actually see the bone in a leg where she's taken a chunk out of a leg. and it was just blood absolutely everywhere. And it's me trying to hold on to it to try and stop it from bleeding and all the rest of it. And I wasn't infected by it at all. But it wasn't until the ambulance turned up and took her away. And I've looked at myself and I've got blood all up my arms, all down my shirt, all over the carpet. It was like,
you know what, David? You go to a special headspace of a bad injury or any injury, but every physiotherapist that I know in hospitals and outside has got a crying corner where they go when they've had a little time to debrief to just go and go, oh my God, I've just, that's just the worst thing I've ever done in my life. You know, we've all got we put on a good game face, we all have a little cry every now and again.
Well, let's cheer it up a bit before we go. Said, right, we've had the worst injuries and all that sort of stuff. What about your best moment in non-league? We'll leave Courtney till last because we'll hear the story again. But we'll start with, because not everybody's been to Wembley. We'll start with Emma. So Emma, what's your best time in non-league?
In non-league, so probably with Epping, because we won it. We got promoted. Sorry, so it was really exciting. Like, the promotion was really exciting. We were really together as a team. The celebration, we had an awards party. Probably just the best. The emotions, like the pure emotions of the whole team. I think you can't beat that.
So with Epping, I take it you was with Billy and the legend that is Chris Ottaway as well.
Yeah, and Asa as well.
Happy day. What about yourself, Kim?
I've been lucky enough to win the Suffolk Cup with two different teams. I recently with Needham, we finished off last season's Suffolk Cup and won that. But previously, when I was with Brantham, we won the Suffolk Cup as well. So, yeah, my two best moments, I suppose.
Emily.
My two best wins in non-league football was actually with under-18s. The first was Sevenoaks under-18s. They won the Ryman Youth League under Mickey Hazard. They got knocked out of the FA Cup the round before they played Chelsea. I was gutted for them. And we went on an end of season tour to Benfica and they beat the Benfica under-18s, which even the Benfica coaches were like, we're a bit shocked. So that was nice. And obviously this year, most recently, 2020 in September, my Phoenix under-18s got to play their cup final and we won against Welling. We won 2-1. And like Ali says, everyone has a crying corner. I carried one of my players on to celebrate because he was so devastated. Carried him on to celebrate, watched him celebrate with his mates, and then took myself off for a little cry afterwards.
Ali?
Mine's probably not so much a win, but it was the when Reece obviously had his anaphylaxis, and in the next game he scored a banging goal. It was a nice little circle moment of a really horrific evening in Bristol, and he bought me flowers before the game, and more importantly, rice and peas and chicken, lovely. So I did very well that evening. I was very happy, but it was a really lovely moment when he went through and went bop, and it was like, that's why we do this, isn't it? That's why we sit up at 1 a.m. in Bristol's A&E when you've got work the next day in London. You're like, I'm in trouble at work, I think.
To be fair, I had a moment like that, Ali, where I'd rehabbed one of our players, Kenny. He's moved on now. He's not a Phoenix anymore. And I said to him, score me a goal, Ken. And he went, yeah, all right, Fizz. And I just said it. And he scored. And he ran straight over the whole team and celebrated with me. And I was literally in the middle of a sweat box.
Yeah.
And I couldn't have been happier. I actually couldn't have been happier. And I remember a supporter saying, isn't it lovely the way they celebrate with the physio? And I thought, yes, it fucking is lovely.
Go on then, Courtney. What's yours, I wonder?
I think it's Wembley. Good. 2018, 2019, because we actually won the league as well as getting to Wembley. So, yeah, just a real buzz.
And I think if I could say what mine was, I think mine would probably be, and everybody would
say you took on the effing bag show, Dave.
Obviously. You sent that magic tweet and went, Ali, you busy on Friday. And I went, of course I'm not. The only girls, Ali, who can come on a show, of course I know a couple. One's called Emily.
For career highlight, Mr. David Square?
For me, it would probably have to be us. Well, I shouldn't really say it, really, should I? Is us winning the playoff final against Hornchurch after beating Cray, but we won't say that. But
yeah. Oh, that's an awful game, mate. Worst day of my life.
we beat Hornchurch.
Have a little cry now.
Probably one of the best. In all football, I would actually have to say that I used to coach an under 13s team for Waltham Abbey all the way through from when they were before, I think under 11s or whatever. We were under 30s. We'd get to sort of like last games, we'd lose them. We wouldn't win nothing. It was always the bridesmaids, et cetera, et cetera. And we ended up winning the league 1 year, beating Chesson to the title. And that was probably the biggest thing for me, because it was fantastic for the kids to actually see their faces when that final whistle went in the final game. And we were losing 1-0, needed to win the game. We ended up winning 5-1 away from home. And these kids' faces was just, I can still see it now. You know, they're all sort of got kids of their own now, but you still sit there and you still think about it and you think, what a fantastic day that was, just to see those smiles on those kids that they actually finally got over that line and actually won something. So that was fantastic. But yeah, this, you know, what can you say? This and working with Keith on the Monday night, you can't get better than that, can you?
You need to sack Keith off and just come with the real royalty. It's like a bad marriage, Dave. You're in your midlife crisis now. You're having an affair. Come on.
A few people as well, by the look of it. Crikey.
Midlife crisis. Keith is his marriage that's going nowhere.
You're starting beef with the other podcast, Emily.
I'm only saying this because I know Keith McMahon is listening, even though he tells me he doesn't listen. I know he's listening.
We had a chat last week about you starting beef with Keith. Come on, mate.
Beef with Keith. We should have a segment.
Hashtag beef with Keith. Sorry, David.
In all fairness, though, I mean, the jobs that you're doing, and you know, as physios and therapists, I mean, you must get a lot from it yourselves. I mean, you must be sort of like a real joy, because you can see it in your faces when you talk about your jobs. You really sort of, you can see that you actually thoroughly enjoy exactly what you're doing.
100%.
Ali's just cracking up to herself down there.
Yeah, I'm thinking, at that moment, like, sometimes I love it, other times I fucking hate it. And I think I'm going to hate it at the weekend, Dave, to be honest with you.
I hate it when it's raining and cold.
Yeah, you know what? What I hate most about football, forget about injuries, is when you're, I have to ask a coach why they do it. It's freezing cold Wednesday night at training. It's the middle of December. It's raining, it's hailing. They go, oh, in a minute, lads. And then 10 minutes, you're still sitting there. Like, go up, Gaffy. You do this every single time. It's the one thing I hate, is standing in the training in the cold, waiting for someone to get hurt, and your feet go cold. The worst part of my job. I can't even sneak indoors anymore.
I mean, Emma's sitting in your business down there. So I mean, tell us a little bit about what you know about that. Promote that a little bit before we go. And then, of course, if anybody's looking for a physio, call Ali? No, right away. But go on,
Emma. Oh my God, it's gonna be a fun weekend, Dave. That's what I'm gonna say.
God, go on.
Whatever, tell us a little bit about your business and you know, before you go.
I do everything. Obviously, not just working with clubs, I work privately. I also do in the Lewin Clinic in Hainaut. You can catch me there sometimes. I do privately, not just the physio stuff. I also do the yoga and mobility stuff, which is big for me, which I'm big on. I'm all about... preventing injuries. There you go. Got to think of it then. But yeah, you find me on Twitter, being crazy as usual.
Kim.
Well, obviously, I work at Needham Market, do my sports therapy clinic out of there. So you can find me there most of the time. I'm doing a master's in. Football science and rehab, so obviously I'm trying to focus all my time in football, well, whatever time I've got left, really. So
what time have you got left, you young
long time? Are you crazy?
Hopefully You don't know though, do you? It's football so fickle at times.
You're 100% right, Kim. You never know what's going to happen.
Kim,
1 minute, you're really happy.
Kim, I hear Bay Wanderers are looking for a physio. You might be a
I love Needham. I can't say any more about it.
The thing is, Kim, like, I follow you on social media, obviously, and you study Shane the life out of people. You've got plans, you've got lists, you've got this. And I just think, like, it comes to a deadline for me and it's chaos. There's pages everywhere. And I'm like, shit, what's about to do again?
Just,
and
I'm just because going, the plans are there doesn't mean it actually isn't last minute, babe.
Plan shamers. Emma's work shameless. We've been wall shameless. We've been plan shameless.
But I'm shit at planning and shit at organising, don't worry.
Honestly, it's chaos. I look at Kim and I think I need to be more like Kim because my life's chaos.
Well, listen, ladies, the top.
Thanks, David, for that.
I forgot I just said that to you. listen.
Exactly.
That's
what is great.
Yeah, yeah. But listen, it's been a fantastic evening. It's been fantastic spending time with all five of you young ladies tonight. It really has. And I do wish you all the very, very best in what you're doing, especially for, you know, to Kim as well. And I still can't get hold of, you've got two teenagers. It's just still happening. Emma, and everything you do as well, Emma, we wish you all the best as well.
Thank you for coming on tonight.
And of course, also to Courtney, of course, and to Emily, and to Free Agent!
corner. Hashtag Free Agent David.
You know what, David? I've never got to send that tweet. For years, I've been waiting.
And, you need to send it now before it's too late.
As a massive thank you to her as well for tonight, Ali, and it's been tough. So really thank you for coming on tonight. And we'll all see you next week. And so we'll be back at the same time next week. Me and Keith, we'll be back Monday night for the D&K Repost Show. Joining us will be ex-Bromley manager Neil Smith and, of course, also as well, Dean Barker. Well, we're going to be talking about recruitment. And I suppose, especially after what's happened over the weekend, how do you go into a new club and with a completely clean slate, and how do you recruit the players, the staff, and how do you bring a team from nowhere to get in a team that can challenge in the league. So we'll be going through all of that with Dean Barker and, of course, as well, Neil Smith on Monday, 7 till 9 with the Repost Show. But from me and the girls...
Hang on.
Watching. Yeah, go on.
Next week's guest is Anwar Ujan. Anwar is an ex-West Ham player, so Ali is beside herself. he's also the assistant manager at Aldershot, and he is also massive in the Fans for Diversity and Diversity in Football. So I am really looking forward to that one.
Mm-hmm. Happy days. And in 2 weeks' time, we have got a Kick It Out special. We've got somebody from Kick It Out coming on the D&K Repost non-league show Monday week as well. So hopefully they'll be joining
us. Stop plugging your show on our show.
Keith, we're not having it. Hashtag.
Until next week.